At a concert while swirling amongst shared connections, you can let go and weightlessly ride the moment. Time feels suspended, which can also be said about traveling. When experiencing different cities, sensations are heightened, and the energy exchanged between a traveler and a new place is similar to that of a band and a fan. It's kinetic, ever-giving, and inspiring. For Kyle Lamont, a road-tripping music journalist, visiting venues across the country is a vehicle to exploration, and this podcast is an audio atlas filled with music maps, conversations, and discoveries. Concert culture is travel-centric, and every venue has a voice. So let us go and listen. ConcertCast, the podcast, is brought to you by Maven. High-class leather and motorcycle seats from the woods of Down East Maine. Handcrafted and shipped worldwide. MavenSeats.com for custom creations.
I'm on cruise control when I cross the state line. I crank up the tunes and replay a memory. They always seem to rush in when I come home. I'm Kaya Lamont, and welcome to Maine. There's an immediate sense of ease when you arrive. You can loosen your grip on the wheel, and no matter what the season is, roll the windows down to take in the pine-laden perfume. I've lost count of the amount of times I've made this drive, but for some reason, coming home always feels fresh. I hail from a small town on the coast called Sullivan, in a region known as Down East. I'm excited to bring you home in Chapter 3 of this four-part series, but to gain a full spectrum on Maine's live music scene, we're starting our venue venture in Portland. Maine used to be an afterthought for bands, but now that touring is financially driving the music business, this state is a premier destination.
The work that we've done over the past 8 years has put us on enough of the agents and band radars that, you know, sometimes we're automatically included in routing, so they're like, we know we want to play the state.
That's Lauren Wayne. She's the head talent buyer and general manager of State Theater in Portland, and I am very amped to be meeting up with her. For weekend warriors staying in Portland, a few lodging and dining suggestions. Stay at the Press Hotel. The 90-year-old brick building has been transformed from an old newspaper house into a modern hotel where the design is a nod to the old journalism days. Plus, there's a wicked cool bar. For the best view of Portland, head to the Eastland Hotel. And for some quirky character, then stay the night at Inn at St. John. And for food? Wow. Where to begin? Bon Appetit magazine just named Portland the 2018 Restaurant City of the Year, so I think that says it all. But my personal faves would have to be Hot Suppa for breakfast, Eventide for dinner, in Navarre Res Beer Cafe for late night vibes.
I mean, isn't that, like, besides family, isn't that what's important in life? Music, food, and beer? And those are my priorities.
And that, my friends, should basically be Portland's platform for public office. For any city's public office.
Lauren for mayor?
And on one block alone, you can find four different music venues. On Congress Street between Park and Center is Port City Music Hall, which is State Theater's development room, Empire, a bohemian venue with Chinese food, and Space Gallery, a contemporary spot for New Age expression.
We're all connected. And thank goodness, because without the smaller clubs too, you know, we wouldn't be as busy, but, you know, the local bands would have not a lot of other places to play, and that's how you stay relevant. You know, your scene is alive and your community's connected, and all these younger bands are seeing the older bands play around, and that's what they want to do, and it's inspiring. So it's good. It's great.
I've seen so many concerts here. So hanging out with Lauren Wayne, a chick who's been described as Portland's musical high priestess, is a bit surreal.
Test, test, test.
So I'm a little nervous because you are so badass.
Oh,
and
wow.
To That's talk to you really is a pinnacle right now. So thank you. That, and we're starting the interview on the stage. The stage, people. The very same stage where countless toe taps and musical jigs have happened. Not where bumbling podcasters stand. Well, I'm noticing too this floor.
Yep.
It feels newish.
8 years old. But we also raised the stage 18 inches, which is a huge job.
It's so silly to think of this stage.
It's amazing. I mean, Gillian Welch just the other night did a little thing with David on stage and like, sounds awesome.
There are no shows tonight, so things are quite quiet, a rarity because her concert calendar is always stacked. Later this week, Courtney Barnett and her indie punk rock crew all the way from Australia will be loading in, an event which has been described as a controlled tornado.
Our production crew are the very first people that a band meets when they come in and load in at our venue. And we have a very challenging load-in situation. Our alley, where we load in, is on one of the busiest streets in Portland. So if we have a truck or a semi that needs to back in the alley, we have to shut the entire street down. So that can take up to 15 minutes, depending on the skill of the truck driver. I mean, it's a sight. And then, you know, you got all the people pissed off because you shut down the road, but that is literally the only way we can get trucks, as we call it, trucks in the hole. It's amazing to see them do what they do.
It's also cool to note that State Theater is the place where bands iron out their technical kinks before heading out on national tours.
Because if a band starts here, usually on their tour, they'll need a few days to kind of get their tour together to see how their production works. And even if it's just like, all right, we don't know how to pack our trucks with our production. So they'll come here and they'll work that out, which is great for us. We usually get a show out of it.
Wayne's love for live music started in high school when she saw the Rolling Stones in Minneapolis.
We were psyched, and it was the Rolling Stones. And that was my very, very first, like, in-the-moment experience when I was like, this is it. Like, this is, I want to do something in this field. I don't know what it is yet. But then, like, throughout college and even after college, it was just like music, music, music. Live shows, specifically.
And Wayne got her start working for the Don Law Company by booking bands at the Big Easy, which used to be on Market Street.
I'm just going to dabble in some talent buying. You know, I'm just going to book some bands at the Big Easy. Just see how that goes. I booked like all fucking Windish bands. They're all my favorite bands. They basically, 80% of the shows, there was like 30 people there or less. But they were like really what I thought like were the coolest bands ever. Like I had the Decemberists there and a bunch of, and like Badly Drawn Boy and Rachel Yamagata and Animal Collective. I mean, but they were not well attended. You know, some of them were, but some of them were not. And that's when I realized, like, oh, this business is not about just booking your favorite artists. You know, you have to figure out what the market wants and what the market can take and not to oversaturate and, like, pick the right ticket price. And I learned that pretty quickly.
Wayne's infectious laugh and love for the community, coupled with great communication skills, is what makes her a remarkable GM. But in the business of talent buying, she's a badass broker.
You must really come to the table because what you've done here is put State Theater, put Portland on America's music map.
Negotiating is something I do like to do. Definitely had some help, big help from the Bowery, which is one of our parent companies, and Alex Crothers in Vermont is our other owner. Whether you're, you know, negotiating with an agent or you're negotiating with your staff or your, you know, third-party vendors or your security, it's all getting along. In the end, don't you want to get along and everyone makes money?
And she's striving constantly to sell out the state. Booking Lord Huron, a band who's played the state before, is a prime example.
3-4 months ago, I was looking at their schedule. I'm like, there's a hole in their schedule and they didn't include the state. So I reached out, I sent an offer. Agent was like, yeah, let's do it again. And they came back. This is their third time. And they've sold out a few weeks ago in advance. So it's like that shit right there is why we do what we do. It's like the best part of the business is seeing an artist and having a hand in their development in like the city that you love. Like twice they came. It was a great show. They did fine. Third time they come in, boom, sold out. It's awesome. It just totally reaffirms why I do what I do.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear how the state came to be, including an epic reopening night.
The fire alarm goes off. Yeah, our very first show. We had a few technical glitches that weekend.
Stay tuned. The decor of the state is what I would call kitschy. It gleans decades of different owners with different ideas of design. Some sections, it feels very Art Deco-y. Other sections, medieval. Fluffy clouds and Italian trees, wow, I'm in Venice all of a sudden. Okay, now there's Spanish tile over here. It's just a hodgepodge, but it works.
The plaster work that you see, like the angels and the ornate like decoration going around the windows, and then the organ. So they have the Wurlitzer are in here, which has actually been restored, but we just can't fit it back in. All that's original, but the paintings and the murals in the front are all stuff that was done in the 90s through the nonprofit when they were like, hey, any artists out there want to come in, do a mural with people who are naked or wearing underwear? So that's unusual, but it's kind of fun right now.
Lauren and I are exiting stage right and wandering around the venue towards the lobby, marveling at some other quirky details.
So this is how you get the front of house. And then you go right into the main auditorium.
The wrought iron railing.
Those are all original.
The Romeo and Juliet balcony.
There are some original things in here that make no sense for our business today, but we're just like, whatever, we're going to keep them. Yeah.
Fabulous clouds going on here.
Again. Something that's on the list.
I'm not giving you shit. I love it. I think it's so kooky. It works.
It's insane. But I think for the like most part, patrons are thinking about how fast they can get to the front of the stage.
State opened in 1929 as a theater, and it's worn a lot of different hats over the decades.
They used to do a lot of variety acts here. It's opened as a movie house. It was the largest screen, I think it still is, the largest movie screen in Maine. And then they used to do theatrical plays. They did broadcasts of kids' TV shows here and radio shows. It's pretty cool. Yeah, John Wayne was here once. He stayed at the Eastland. And then they just had to do a lot of different kinds of things because all that stuff kind of died out.
As we walk around, a colorful mural catches my eye. A nod to yet another type of show that popped up during state's history. The painting reads, Malabar the Magnificent. It's of a man sporting a leotard. He has a handlebar mustache and is wrangling two white horses.
So that guy Malabar would be on stage with horses? Or what do you think?
Yeah, they would do a lot of weird things in this venue. And I'm not positive how they got in and out, but they did it.
In the 70s, state got seedy.
It was a porn theater in the 70s and I think 80s.
Pornography and sex deviation have always been with mankind.
Yeah.
Have you uncovered any pictures or like actual like people that can validate that?
Listeners know it has been cleaned up. No, I mean, I wasn't around, but word on the street that it was, the whole block was just, you know, run down and not the block that it is today.
Fast forward to the 90s when it was really rough.
It was run as a nonprofit and a dinner theater. And I don't know how much experience you have with nonprofits and dinner theaters, but when you mix the two, it's probably not the most ideal situation for running a profitable music venue.
They were able to book some big names, but the building was a hot mess. And like part of the ceiling fell down on someone.
That was Sarah McLachlan.
It stumbled through those years, and it finally got some relief in the form of a Midas touch from the kings of music venues. Alex Crothers and Bowery Presents signed a long-term lease in 2010 and immediately hired Wayne to run the company. Then in 2015, Alex Crothers purchased the building with Redstone Properties.
I signed on with the company in May or June of 2010, and they were like, all right, our opening night is October 15th. Basically, here's your contractor. Here's your GC. Work with them to open the venue up by then. I'm like, because I'd never done anything like that. I was a talent buyer and a marketing director. So I learned a lot, and I learned it really quickly over the next couple of months.
So then it's renovated. It's ready to rock. You have your first show.
The fire alarm goes off. Yeah, our very first show. My morning jacket accidentally set the fire alarm off when they were teching, so they were rehearsing. So that was fun. And then Mo, it actually happened during the show, so we had to dump the building. It was fine. There was nothing wrong. It was just people, too many smokers in the bathroom. So we dumped, and then we got everybody back in, and we had a great show. It happens! Stop smoking. We're doing it. do it in your own home.
It's like almost it was a good blessing of the legacy that you'll have here. It's pretty cool.
Made it. We got it to happen. It was like one of the best weekends of my life.
And the momentum has only been gaining for her, despite the stressful nature of the job.
You're responsible for everyone's fun.
No biggie.
No biggie. But that's the best part of the business, because then you get to come here and see everyone having fun. And you're like, dude, this is it. This is music. This is like the feeling of community and that sense that you get of being all together, like enjoying this fucking like experience together. Excuse my language again. I can't help it. I swear.
While in the balcony, we gush over our mutual love for being up so high.
Feels like sometimes we're the cool kids are, you know, like back of the school bus vibe.
That's funny. One of my favorite places to see a show when no one knows I'm here is actually right up there because it's such a good view. And not like I'm spying on people, but I'm just kind of like looking around, making sure everybody's cool. But
it's one of the coolest sight lines of any venue I've been to because it's so expansive. You know, there's nothing blocking it.
Yeah, well, I think that's the unique feature of this whole venue because it was built so long ago that, and it you can get 1,900 people in here, but it still feels so intimate because it's more wide than it is long. So it's great. It's awesome. And then there's not a bad place to see a show here.
I agree 100%. There's not a bad seat in the house. Although I would like to stand in the Romeo and Juliet balcony and
Those are fake.
Imposter.
Those are fake. I can't even believe it.
That would be pretty dope, though. Opera-style seating, like just have a couple chairs over there.
Yeah, if we could get there, we would, but we can't even get there. It's just a facade.
We meander back to the stage, and our time with Lauren Wayne is coming to a close. But before I switch the mic off, I make sure to ask her my favorite question.
How would you describe, like, when you are alone in this venue and it's quiet and you can just, like, absorb everything?
I'm never really alone because it's haunted. So I sit. it's definitely a surreal feeling being in here alone. I actually leave a lot through the venue at night, and being the only one walking through, it's surreal. It's like a pretty awesome feeling to know that, yeah, it's so quiet now, but, you know, 16 hours, we're going to have 1,900 screaming fans in here listening to some pretty rad music. It's good. But I'd much rather not be alone in the theater than alone, because that means if I'm alone, I'm doing something wrong.
Guys, hello.
Oh, I sold one ticket. Awesome.
Next episode, we cruise up the coast of Belfast, where we'll meet up with the drummer of Fish at his radio show, before checking out the All Roads Music Festival, which turns historic buildings into venues for the night. Subscribe, rate, and review ConcertCast on your podcast app of choice. Type in concertcast.live for a music-centric itinerary and to learn how you can be part of the show. And find us on Spotify to download a main music playlist. This has been a Good to Go Studios production created by Kyle Lamont and made in Ellsworth, Maine. Our resident mastermind is Mark Tuckashan. And special thanks to Lauren Wayne and State Theater, Emma Teamy, our main maven, Sasha Woodruff, our story editor, Pepper Little, Abby Rock Jessamine, Corey Chandler, Amy Charlie, Keely Rose, and Cara Romano, Kale Parks, and Dixie for music. Mastered by Portland Pod, Maine's first podcasting studio located in South Portland. And thank you for listening.